Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 98.
This week on the podcast, an Olympic grudge match leaves the U.S. stuck with Justin Bieber for another 4 years.
And Sochi surprisingly goes off without a hitch. Sadly, all of the rest of the world is entirely falling apart.
Colorado's marijuana tax revenue will now go to plans to ensure that they have no more marijuana tax revenue.
And best-selling author of the Bible, God, apparently also founded the most powerful nation in the world. He's a busy guy, that God.
Ted Nugent's doing some serious projecting with his subhuman mongrel criticism of Obama.
And birther queen real estate dentist lawyer Early Tights looks to top her 3% haul of votes in 2012 in her race for attorney general.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com. That's where we are.
Yep.
So now you've done it.
That's where we live.
That's where we live. Yes, exactly. It's the only place I live currently. I'm not doing much living in my apartment.
No.
Flood issues. Oh, the worst.
I know. After last week, remember?
Yeah.
We talked about
it. Right, yeah, exactly.
That was the tragic flood episode last week.
The tragic flood of 2014. Uh-huh. The very beginning of 2014. Oh, God. More tragedy could happen this year. We hope not. What is tragic is that the Olympics are over.
Oh, they're over.
This is life-ruining stuff. That's...
Now what?
Well... Now we feign interest in figure skating for another 3 months before we forget entirely that it's a competitive sport, move on with our lives, and then in 4 years we'll be, like, obsessed.
We'll care about it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how we operate.
Yeah.
Because figure skating happens every year.
Yeah, because we have the World Championships coming up pretty soon.
And there's Grand Prix events happening every 5 minutes.
Oh, all the time.
People are just competing in figure skating all over the place.
It's a thing that they do.
It's a thing that competitive figure skaters are up to.
Competing, yeah.
Uh-huh. But we never pay attention unless it's the Olympics.
Yeah.
And then we act like that's been the only competition in the last 4 years that matters. Uh-huh. So that's over, and that's sad.
Yeah, and there was some drama with the figure skating this
week. Yes.
If you're buying into all of that. Lila's not convinced of the drama.
No.
I sort of like to buy into it just because I love a good conspiracy
theory. Yeah, earlier this week, Grant was like, Lila, just get on board with my conspiracy theory.
I know.
He's been watching The X-Files.
I started The X-Files over from the beginning again, just arbitrarily.
Yeah.
Apropos of nothing.
Yeah.
But, and it's... been as good as I remembered watching it the first time around. But anyway, I'm really loving a good sort of,
conspiracy,
you know, judging conspiracy with the women's figure skating because there were shenanigans or there weren't.
Right. Something happened.
But there was an upset regardless of whether you believed that there were shenanigans involved because it didn't go down as it was supposed to go down.
As we know, ladies figure skating is the only event in figure skating anyone cares about.
Correct.
I was like blowing out about pairs and ice dancing. And then
one was following. Nobody cares about ice dancing in America, even though we finally won a gold medal
Canada and the U.S. are the two best ice dancing teams in the world. So,
right,
like,
and everybody's from Michigan anyway. So
yeah,
it's like,
the entire world is training
but
in Michigan.
Nobody cares.
No one cares.
Because it's not exciting.
It's not exciting. Ladies figure skating is where all of the drama goes down.
Correct.
And it is where all the drama went down. This time, it's always the final event.
Yes.
And there was, Kim Yuna was dethroned.
Yes.
Which everyone
the
hated
queen.
Because they were calling her the queen.
Mm-hmm.
And then they could use the dethrone metaphor and feel really good about themselves.
Yeah.
And Russia won gold, but not... It was Dark Horse Russia.
The other teenager
from
the
Russia.
Teenager from the team event, because she fell.
She was falling
in the
left, right,
short
and center.
Program and the long program.
Yeah.
She fell in both.
Doing all she could to just fall everywhere.
She was in front of a boatload of people who did not fall once.
Correct.
So people weren't totally in love with that. Specifically, Ashley Wagner.
Who was not in love with a lot that was going on, and no one was in love with her either, so it worked out.
I know, but now they are.
Yeah.
Like the one, and even I was even seeing people on my Facebook.
Suddenly
like
rooting
like,
for Ashley Wagner.
I know, suddenly,
I know, so weird.
And me too.
Yeah.
Like, I had never, but like she, after she got, seventh or whatever, and she moved down from sixth after the short program behind sort of like a whole...
Yeah,
bunch
all sorts
of people. Including
Mao
Sada, who only completed one like jump in her short program and didn't do a combination and fell on her butt.
Right.
And so, you know, she was sort of, in my
landed
estimation...
Landed a triple axel. She
did, in the long program.
She skated a totally clean long program and landed a triple axel.
She did.
I feel like she should win for that.
I
don't.
Know,
I feel like, who cares about the
that.
Short program?
But anyway, so I'm back on Ashley Wagner's good side.
Yeah.
And she's also only 22. She can come back. And she skated pretty well. I like that program for her. I feel like when she's sort of... When
Sassy.
she when she's gets the sass down, and she did the Led Zeppelin for a short program. Yeah. Like, I feel like I can kind of get behind. She's going to come into sort of, like, her own, I think, is maybe, yeah. like, a little bit more of a mature figure skater. She's got to get that triple-triple under control. She's never going
to
win anything.
No. Brent and I also discussed the degree to which if we had to hang out with one figure skater in this event, it would be Ashley
Wagner. Oh, it's her, because she's probably just a terrible beast of a human being.
Not in, like, the gossipy way. Not in the Gracie Gold way where she's too good to talk to you.
No.
In the way where she totally, you know, talk shit about everyone.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be great.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you want to gossip with Ashley Wagner about all the other figure skaters.
Exactly.
Does she have the dirt?
Oh, my God. There was some figure skating gossip at the rink about Gracie Gold being a little bit of a bitch.
Oh. Shocked.
I'm
sure that they're all just...
they're all horrible.
They're all horrible.
Yeah. But that was the discussion at the rink because someone had bought figure skates while she was in the pro shop at some other rink, and it was like a whole thing. Everyone
was
talking
about figure skates that everybody is wearing.
There's a woman at the rink who has those, and I asked her where she got them, and she was like talking about her experience getting them, and Gracie Gold was in the store where she bought them. I think in Anaheim or somewhere where you can buy Edea figure skates, and you know, it all went down. In any case, Kim Yuna herself she skated fine. You know, she skated a little bit of a lackluster performance, and you know, a lot of people are claiming that this Russian chick whose name is very long, Alina, or other.
Who knows?
She, you know, didn't skate as sort of like gracefully as a lot of the other winners. But I would sort of argue that it's figure skating, and she jumped really fucking high.
She did. Like, I know.
At the point that we're having to judge people doing dance performances on ice.
Yeah.
Why not value that over grace?
Well, that's the thing.
If you're doing it that well. You know, I prefer the performances that are very graceful.
Right, you and I were both pulling for Carolina Costner.
Right.
Because
if she hadn't jumped once, I wouldn't have even cared. She's
no,
the prettiest
matter.
Skater
She's
that was competing.
Beautiful. Yeah.
But I feel like at the point that we're competing in a sport that requires you to jump and twist around in the air three times, like, you can value grace if you want, and that's a good thing to raise people's scores for, but why not value someone who's performing just as lackluster a performance as Kim Yuna, but is jumping 1,000 times higher than her?
Yeah.
Because she was fucking jumping.
She was jumping up a storm.
She was jumping up a storm.
Yeah.
She was jumping 10 feet in the air. It was crazy.
No, and when you think about sort of like past Olympic winners, it's like you said, and especially American winners. I mean, you know,
they're not beautiful skaters.
It's no shock that Tara Lipinski didn't seem to think that Kim Yuna had done that great, because Tara Lipinski comes from the just jumping up a storm school of winning figure skating
golds.
That's who we send
to the Olympics.
Sarah Hughes, as she
that's
only
Gracie,
won because
that's the
she did
Gracie
this...
Gold comes from ultimately.
Yeah.
They've tried to kind of clean up the rough edges. But that's ultimately why she's a competitive skater in America is because she can jump a million feet in the air.
Yeah. No, and I think that the American figure skaters are on pretty, you know, solid footing at this point.
We all
because,
were
like,
in the top 10.
Because they were all in the top 10, and Gracie Gold was really great. I feel like she's only getting better. She's still really young. Ashley Wagner is, like
herself.
We just said, is herself.
A
and I feel like she's going to be sort of like, I think she's going to be like a good, you know, mid-20s figure skater.
Mm-hmm,
like, she just seems the type.
She's
going to
get
just,
in there.
She's going to have it under control. She's going to really, right?
Yeah.
And then, what's her face? It's just
Polina.
Awesome. She looks like she's going to jump out of the damn building.
Yeah, and she's a beautiful skater, too.
Yeah, and she's only 15.
She comes from the Russian school of learning to dance and jump,
which
is
Russian.
A great school. She's Russian, that's how. Yeah, it's not hard. in any case, that's all we talked about all week.
Yeah.
There was also some hockey excitement.
Yes. The American hockey team's didn't fare so well against Canada this week.
I feel like, don't even play Canada in hockey.
If
they got to the finals, just hand them the gold medal. They're Canada. They care.
Right? I mean, at least...
We didn't care as much as they did.
At least we got to beat Russia.
Yeah,
that was exciting.
Counts.
Everybody was really excited about that. It was a very exciting game. They had to go into...
Right, they went into overtime.
Shootout, whatever it's called
in hockey. Nobody knows.
Both the men's and the women's team had run-ins with Canada. The American women really pissed it down their leg because they were ahead 2-0, like, with 10 minutes left in the third quarter.
Fucked that.
They managed to really blow that. I actually watched some of that, too, which is
watching
crazy.
Hockey.
On my computer at work, actually.
Oh, God.
Because, like,
I
didn't even know what was going on, but I had, like, ESPN up or something, and it was, like, there was, like, some
exciting
breaking news headline thing or whatever, and I turned it on when it was in overtime and then watched them lose, and I was like, oh, God, that was a disaster.
No,
But there was a funny thing because there was a hashtag that was trending on Twitter that was, loser keeps Bieber.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because, you know,
we're trying to get rid of him, they're trying to get rid of him.
That's the consolation prize, basically, is...
We're stuck with him now.
Yeah. So we lost big time.
But despite all their losses in hockey, Russia did win the medal count.
They did, yeah. So, and we were ahead of that.
Yeah.
In that, up until That's fairly recently.
Because we were faring really well in the bronze department, P.S. It was not because we were leading for gold.
I think we won the bronze department.
I bet we did.
Actually.
We were way ahead of any other team in bronze medals.
We also won the X Games department.
Yes. Yeah, if there was a department that could just be sports that are not, like, traditional sports that we made up in America in order to bring to the Olympics, we would have also won.
The one thing that I like about those, and it was interesting too, because I actually heard somebody talking about, they were talking about the Olympics on Meet the Press this morning, and nobody had anything intelligent to say, but I feel like Chris Matthews was mentioning it with all of those X Games sports, is that, like, they're still really fun because they're just, they're just fun inherently because there's crazy, like, flipping and anybody could die at any moment. But they're also still sort of, like, coming into their own in the sense that, like, every single time you watch those at the Olympics, like,
someone is doing something crazier.
Someone is doing something crazier. Yeah. So they're still really, like, you don't know what to expect. And, like, people are still getting better at them. Like, people aren't still necessarily, like, getting better at basketball. You know what I mean? Like, people
are maybe becoming more physical. People are getting,
right. Like, I mean, you know, people may be going faster or whatever, but that doesn't make it more exciting necessarily. Like, in sports like this, like, people are, it's still being invented.
Yeah.
Which sort of makes it, like,
no, I mean, that's, I think, what's always been exciting about figure skating is that you have the potential for people, you have the potential for Mao Asada to
do
be
a triple axel.
The only person in the competition doing a triple axel.
The pairs are trying quad jumps now. Like,
there's always room to sort of, like, evolve within the sport.
Yeah.
And at some point, that's probably going to hit a ceiling because, like, at the point that everyone's required to do a quadruple jump in the men's sport, it's like, not that many people in the world who skate well in other regards can also jump and turn around four times. Like, who has time?
No.
But I think that that's sort of why it's appealing to audiences. It's why gymnastics appeals to audiences in the Summer Olympics.
Yeah.
And, like, why marathoning is not a particularly exciting sport to watch. Because it's sort of like, well, we've a lot of fast runners out there just running for hours.
Uh-huh.
They can do it. Yeah. Like, it's not a big deal. In any case, not far from Russia, a different kind of scene was breaking out.
Yeah.
Ukraine is a mess.
Exciting in a different way.
Yes, yes, very. in the dead person way.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
they had like more than 80 dead last week. They have like major protests going on.
Big time.
There's some complicated shenanigans happening in part because everyone involved has a name that is at least 500 syllables long.
No.
So the protests broke out in opposition to the president, Viktor Yanukovych.
Yes.
He is a very... So Ukraine is divided into two regions, sort of politically. One is very pro-Russia, and one sort of favors joining the EU.
The EU, yes.
And Yanukovych is from the eastern region, where they're very pro-Russia.
Pro-Russia.
So he kind of threw out this deal
that's
where
the border is.
That's where the border is, right. Yeah. He kind of threw out this deal that was brewing with the EU in November.
Yeah.
And accepted a bunch of bailout money from Russia.
From Russia.
And... People,
which was a very clear attempt from Russia to get them to not join the EU because they don't want them to join.
Well, and Russia wants to start their own trade organization, like their own, you know, sort of group like the EU where they can do free trade and whatnot.
Yeah.
And so they are targeting Ukraine as one of the states that they want to join this, and he was obviously in favor. Shit went down, though, because half the country is not on board with this and wants to join the EU.
So they had, like, they had thousands, I think, in Kiev. Like, didn't they have, like, 20,000
huge
or 30,000?
Protests in Kiev.
Huge
yeah.
protests.
And those are being mostly organized around this other figure, Yulia Tymoshenko.
Right.
Who used to be the prime minister.
Yeah.
And then was jailed by Yanukovych.
Yes.
Because he said that she was on corruption charges of some sort, but a lot of people think it was political retribution. She's sort of a controversial figure anyway, because some people think she is, like, there's sort of this image that she is corrupt kind of going around, partially because she was jailed
she's a former prime minister.
She's like Hillary Clinton. She's sort of, like, in and around everything, so, like, half the country thinks that she's up to not, you know, shenanigans, and half the country thinks that she's the Great White Hope.
Sure.
So, and she's currently in a wheelchair, was released from the hospital where she was being held.
Yeah.
I'm sure someone knows what that was about. I certainly don't. She had a back injury that was caused by her two and a half years in jail or something like that. But she's sort of like this figure that's associated with this 2004 situation.
Right.
That was the Orange Revolution, where they basically, like, recalled a presidential election.
Yeah.
And, you know, Yanukovych, Yanushenko, that's not a person. That was a mixture of the names. Yanukovych was supposedly the winner, and then they recalled it, and this other guy won, who's Yushchenko.
Yeah.
She's like, have a...
Come on.
Stop with that. Go by and just... We'll call him... We're going to call him Victor Y. They're both Victor Y, by the way, which makes it worse.
Uh-huh.
But in any case, everything is sort of like coalescing around her as a figure. The parliament is dominated by... people that are sort of her supporters.
Right.
And so,
because they've been around for a while.
They've been around since before the Orange Revolution. Right. So Yanukovych disappeared this week.
Yeah. I think recently, this weekend.
And
basically came and got his things, packed up and went. Nobody knows where he's at.
They think he's in eastern Ukraine somewhere, but no one knows where. And a lot of his supporters have kind of like disappeared, kind of dried up.
Right.
A lot of people pretending they were not supporting him in the first place.
Right.
The parliament decided to go back to a constitution from 10 years ago that gives them expanded
power.
And
the parliament is running things because there's no sort of head of state right now.
They basically assigned presidential powers to their speaker, whose last name is Turchinov. Alexander spelled with an O and no E. It's like complicated
come
stuff.
On.
It's Alexander spelled like you would in Ukraine. But in any case, he's also a Tymoshenko supporter. And so no one knows where Yanukovych is.
Right.
They also don't know if it's legal for the parliament to be running things. Because no one knows whether this old constitution is something they were allowed to go back to in the first place. So they're sort of like making it up as they go along and kind of trying to feel their way around. There's a lot of concern in Russia about this, as you'd imagine. And people in the U.S. and the world are concerned that Russia's going to intervene militarily because they have a bunch of warships that just hang out outside Ukraine.
A lot of people are sort of suspecting that this is going to happen literally as of tomorrow because people are thinking that they were literally waiting until the Olympics were over to sort of like start shenanigans because they didn't want to be seen as sort of like getting involved here when they're trying to, you know,
look like they're not the people that do that.
Right, exactly.
But the protests are still growing.
Yeah.
And so as much the sort of like that violent skirmish kind of came to an end, but like most of Kiev is like in flames, it seems like.
Right.
No one knows who's running the country.
It reminds you of, even to like look at it with like all these tents and everything, it really is sort of has like a Tahrir Square sort of feel
very
to
much.
It, sort of.
Yeah.
And also similar in the sense that it's just nobody knows what's
going on. No one knows what's going on. It's a giant shit show, and now the country has no legitimate government of any sort that anyone can point to. And people are honestly worried, I think, that eastern Ukraine is going to try to just split off.
Right.
And which is another reason that people are worried about Russia intervening militarily, because if Russia just takes back eastern Ukraine, then like what is western Ukraine supposed to do? Just like lose half the... But I'm also sort of like, these
maybe
are false borders
just,
anyway.
Maybe let's
if
just
eastern
do
Ukraine
that.
Wants to join Russia, let western Ukraine join the fucking EU and let's get over this all.
Right.
If they don't like each other, they don't like each other.
Yeah.
Probably western Ukraine hated being part of the Soviet Union because they were probably treated like some satellite nonsense. And eastern Ukraine was like, well, we're Russian anyway.
We're Russian,
So they probably think they're Russian. So, you know, I mean, I'm totally guessing.
Right.
Never been
to
Ukraine.
No.
Couldn't point out where the border would be that would divide eastern and western Ukraine.
I saw a map of it on Meet the Press this morning.
Brent could.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. But in any case, that is a mess. But that's not the only mess.
No, it's
because
like a...
it's the world is falling apart right
it
now,
it totally
guys.
Is. I know.
Venezuela is also having major protests.
Oh,
they had a very sort of high-profile incident where a beauty queen died, so that's really how we all found out this was happening.
That's tragic.
But their president, Maduro, who took over from, you know, kind
Hugo
of
Chavez.
Is carrying on the Chavez legacy.
Yeah.
Has these massive protests going on against him, and then he's organizing, you know, pro-him protests. And so there's kind of like a warring protest going on there, because that's socialist governments are good at organizing supporters as well. A lot is going down.
Yeah. Well, and he sort of is claiming that it's like some vast right-wing conspiracy to sort
to
of, you know, overthrow him,
him
and delegitimize him. A lot of people are sort of saying that that's not what it is at all, that it's just people who don't have food.
Right.
That
are
sort of like that, you know?
Well, I mean, and people are angry because the quality of life there has decreased markedly.
Yeah.
Like, there's massive inflation, there's major food shortages, there's a high crime rate.
They don't have sort of like the oil revenue that they once had just because of the fact that they're sort of like not, you know, they're not selling that and exporting it like they used to. I mean, I think that we've talked about that before.
They've sort of lost the cult of personality around Chavez, so a lot of this stuff is starting to unravel.
Yeah.
But in any case, they've been having skirmishes where, like, the you know, government
people have
security.
Died there too.
Yeah, I think they've had three deaths.
Not as many.
Or they've had
eight.
On February 12th, they had three deaths. That was the major
when it sort
incident.
Of started, right?
They've had eight overall and like 100 or so injured. One of the deaths was a beauty queen who got a lot of press for.
Oh, God.
Dying.
Well, you don't. When beautiful people die, it's
people hate
more
that.
Tragic than
when ugly people,
people
die. No one's interested.
Nobody.
Faceless ugly people. A beauty queen, though.
The worst. Ugly people are the worst.
Beauty queens count.
Yeah.
And Maduro is claiming that in that particular incident, the opposition was actually the ones who opened fire. So they're investigating that.
But I mean,
no one knows.
Come on, that's what
chaos.
You say.
That's what. Yeah, that's what I would say.
Yeah.
But, and they've jailed one of the opposition's big leaders. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's a shit show and a half as well.
Right.
And that's, I mean, that sort of troubles me because I sort of feel like every time that something like this happens in a kind of socialist experimenting nation, it gets blamed on socialism.
Not, it does.
Which I don't think is the problem here.
No, because they weren't having
for years they were having success with that.
I think it's just sort of like a general unraveling after sort of like having a
this is a, and I think it's partially probably related to outside pressure from, you know, from well, countries like the US who would gain a lot from the state control disappearing in a lot of situations.
Well, and it's also a problem, too, because it's, as, you know, we talked a lot, we actually wrote a
blog entry about why it's worth memorializing Hugo Chavez.
And, you know, one of the things that sort of, you know, Venezuela and specifically Chavez sort of were really sort of, I mean, you know, they were one of the, they were holding sort of a lot of the region together. I mean, at least in South America. I mean, they were sort of like one of the kind of, you know,
well, and they were one of the few voices of sort of an independent South America, which is rare because a lot of the history of South America has been determined by the U.S.'s actions.
Correct.
And so it's disappointing to see a nation in South America that was sort of helping spearhead a sort of spirit of independence, which since then a lot of countries in South America
have joined. Right, and that's
a lot
was,
of the Southern Cone countries
say,
are kind of like, you know, are they're operating their own free trade zone. They're doing a lot in the Southern Cone.
And because of sort of, you know, the history that they had with, you know, under Chavez and because of all of the oil money they had, they were really sort of one of the more prosperous countries in the region. And they're sort of, they're not anymore. And so this sort of unrest is
And
sort
that's
of,
problematic.
It's right.
They should figure their shit out.
Exactly.
Maduro needs to figure some shit out.
Yeah.
People, because one of the joys of living under a socialist government is that everyone eats.
Exactly.
Everyone's not eating, there's no point to doing it.
Right? I mean,
at that point, you might as well be capitalist.
The whole point of socialism is to
make
ensure
sure everyone
that
can
everyone
eat.
Eats.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, like, that's a problem, guys.
Right.
And Maduro has been organizing a lot of, like, all-women protests. There is some sort of, it is interesting to see sort of, like, how they're trying to project themselves in, you know, in contrast to the opposition protests. Mm-hmm. The opposition protests have been very violent and they've been very sort of like aggressive seeming. And he's been doing a lot of like women for Maduro protests, which is all women, blah, blah, blah. Which, I mean, I think probably in Venezuela, women have more to gain from maintaining a socialist system than the men do. Because there's probably a fairly traditional sort of like breakdown of roles. And so it's probably, you know, it's probably more empowering for women to be under a socialist system in certain senses. Obviously, with a socialist government, it's all everything's propaganda always.
Yeah.
Even when they're doing good work, it's propaganda.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that this is getting sort of framed as an anti-socialist uprising.
Yeah.
I hate when that happens. Mm-hmm. It was like in Cuba. I was once talking to somebody, and I was, you know, we were sort of like, I was like trying to ask some questions about like some of the limitations of the Cuban system of government, which include the fact that you don't really have mobility. You don't have, you know, you sort of are limited in terms of resources because they're sharing it with everyone. And so you can't really be prosperous there in the way that you can here. And I was sort of, you know, I sort of reject the idea that you can't have some sort of democracy filtered into a socialist system. They sort of have a somewhat democratic under system going on, but it's not fully democratic there, and they know it, and we know it. And they were sort of like, well, your pro-democracy talk is also propaganda to a certain degree. If, you know, socialism is just as legitimate a form of government, it's just that's what we believe is right, and you believe democracy is right. And, like, so to some degree, you have no idea what's going on here, because everything is PR.
Right,
well, it's obviously, what Maduro is up to is total PR.
Well,
he's having, like, organized rallies with women talking about how great he is for women, but
and unlike Cuba, I mean, Venezuela was having elections and re-electing Chavez
them all over the place
for a lifetime, basically. I mean,
exactly.
So it's not as if that was some sort of like regime that was being forced on them by someone who had like taken power. I mean, like he was
exactly.
They liked it.
Yeah.
I mean,
and they don't like it now because they're starving.
Right.
Which is fair.
Right.
I wouldn't like to starve.
No.
It's not fun.
No, especially if you're being pitched a government that is supposed to ensure that
The reason that you have that government is specifically so you don't starve.
Yeah, exactly.
In any case.
Oh, gosh.
So worse than Venezuela.
Right.
Not surprisingly.
Right. I mean, and this sort of came as a shock this week, because I heard a report on this on TV. But basically, the UN has been sort of like doing a year-long report on North Korea.
Yeah.
The North Korean government did not let them in for this, but they basically sort of like interviewed people who had either escaped or had lived there or had been in the country at some point or whatever. And they've been doing this for a year.
Yeah.
And the report came back, and it's a lot worse than sort of everybody thought. I mean, everybody sort of, like, generally knew that it was terrible. They knew that, you know, all of the dictators who have been in power there have been sort of, you know, they take political prisoners. They kill people sort of at their own whim, and, you know, they don't necessarily treat the people very well. But, I mean, like, this report came back and basically sort of, like, compared them to Nazi Germany. And it's bad, bad.
Yes.
bad.
Well, it's, and, you know, we've always sort of suspected that they have labor camps going on where they keep the political prisoners. And we know that's the case because people have escaped and told us this.
Right.
But I think they, you know, they sort of outline a lot of what goes on in those camps.
Yeah.
And it's all stuff that you could guess would be pretty, be going on in a horrible labor camp, but you wouldn't want confirmed.
Right. But basically the report said that the human rights abuses against its own citizens is basically on a scale that's unparalleled in the modern world.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody really knew that was the case.
Yeah. So, in any case, they outline some of what is going on. Some of the more disturbing things include a sort of too high rate of forced abortions.
Yes. Well, a lot of what happens is...
To maintain ethnic purity.
Right. When people... Well, right. Because there's a big sense of ethnic purity there. And a lot of... When people escape North Korea, they escape... to China.
Right.
Because
the only country you can get to from North Korea.
It's the only country, right, other than South Korea, and you can't get to South Korea, as we know, because we've
seen there's a hilarious border where they stare down
each other. Stares at each other.
And then they try to make phone calls to each other, but no one answers.
Nobody answers, yeah.
A lot of what goes on there, despite what we're about to tell you, is highly comedic out of context.
Right, exactly, right. Like, if you were only to, like, if you didn't know that North Korea was killing all of their own people, and you only saw sort of, like, what was going on at the border with North and South Korea.
With, like, sham towns meant to make it look prosperous.
Right, you would think,
like,
that it had to be,
guards that spend all day staring down each other, and then periodically make phone calls to each other that no one ever answers.
Yeah, it's like out of a movie that you can't write, basically, sort of. Like,
exactly.
I mean, yeah.
It's
so
crazy.
But anyway, so people escape to China, and what happens is, like, when China has a fairly close... They're close with North Korea.
Yeah.
And so if China catches anybody from North Korea, they send them back, even though sort of China obviously knows what's going on.
Yeah.
So, but what happens is if women come back there and there's any sort of perceived notion that they are pregnant with someone from China, which there's obviously no way to know, like, while they're pregnant, like, how do you know, like, whatever. They basically, like... They force abortions. There's also, like, a lot of, like, forced procedures on people, like, in these camps without anesthetics. Yeah. Like, basically, they're torturing
people. It's like what they were up to with Jews in Nazi Germany.
That's exactly
they were doing medical experiments on them, stuff
and
like that. That stuff is going on.
We didn't know that was happening.
And then they were having prisoners dispose of other prisoners' bodies and things like that, which is a thing that was going on in death camps in Nazi Germany as well.
Yeah, they interviewed somebody who had been in one of these camps who... had escaped and said that, you know, they are forced to, like, burn the dead and then use them as fertilizer. And, I mean, it's just, it's bad. So basically what the UN has said is that they are sort of like, they wrote the North Korean government a letter and they were like, look, don't be doing this for one, but also, like, we can take you to the ICC, which is what the International Criminal Court. Even though North Korea is not a part of that, they're not sort of, like, one of the, you know, signatories or whatever, like, as part of, like, these nations that sort of can go there. But they can still sort of, like, be taken there and they can be tried for, you know, whatever. North Korea has already said that this is a sham. Like, this isn't happening. Like, of course, that's what they're going to say or whatever. But, like, most people, the key here is China.
Yeah.
Because China is one of the veto nations in the UN,
right,
and they're buddy-buddy with North Korea.
So no one can act until China gets their shit together.
Unless China can get their shit together, which nobody really thinks they're going to do. Although, I was listening to something, I think they were talking about this on Bill Maher the other night, that it might be bad enough
for
China to not be able to sort of, like, to support what's
going
on.
This report is egregious. And it's the kind of... These are the kind of claims that if you are North Korea, you have to disprove if you want anyone to maintain their relationship.
It's bad enough. I mean, like, you know, after the Holocaust in Nazi Germany, you know, America said, this will not happen again.
Right.
And granted, we can talk about whether we've stuck to that or not, because shit's been going down in Africa and various other parts of the world.
We're involved in a lot of shit.
So, but it's on the level of things that you would have to say, that you would have to intervene
if you mean
again.
Yeah. Exactly.
So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
This is a tricky one. Because this is a nation, this is not really like the Nazis where people were scared to speak out, but, and sort of just like trying not to know what was going on. This is an entire nation of brainwashed people.
Well, and it's also
the degree to which we're able to claim sort of that we have the authority to intervene into their affairs, it's difficult to figure out because this is all happening in one kind of internal setting.
Well, right, and the other thing that makes it different about is because North Korea is already sort of, like, very isolated.
Yeah.
The Nazis were trying to take over Europe.
Right. They were not isolated. They were everywhere.
And thus the world. I mean, they were literally trying to take over the world. Like, yeah. That was their end game, basically. Right. North Korea is not trying to take over the world. And I'm not saying that we should just let them do whatever they want to their own citizens. But on some level, I mean...
You need to justify your own actions
They're not attacking America. They're not. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how concerned we are about this when they're really sort of like not doing any harm on the world stage. Yeah. Obviously, we don't want to stand for this.
Well, and you know, their sort of desire to have a nuclear weapon is problematic. That sort of thing. Part of the other issue is that most of their rhetoric is focused around this perceived threat of an American invasion. And so to follow through on that threat would make everything that they've been saying true.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is really problematic.
Yeah.
Because that's when everyone in North Korea decides that we were the problem.
Right, exactly. Well, they will have willed it.
Yeah, they're creating a problem that they're claiming.
But their people won't get that because they don't know what's
going on. They don't
have
the context. They don't have the information.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they're in a cultural environment that values this sort of obedience over free thinking anyway.
Yeah, well, they don't have free thinking.
They don't have free thinking. Yeah. If you think freely, you end up in a camp where you can't talk to anybody.
Right.
So no free thinking is going on in regular North Korean society. It's not like we'll get there and be like, guys, this could be better. And they'll be like, I had no idea. Oh,
They don't know. Yeah.
Anyone who knows is not allowed to talk to the people that don't know.
That's it.
So... I mean, this is tricky, I think, because this is a very isolated version of a horrible human rights abuse situation. And a lot of the time we make this claim about governments that are involved, you know, that are doing this on a much smaller scale where they just have like political prisoners or something like that. I mean, that's what we're always intervening in Latin America for that reason.
Right.
You know, we're probably going to intervene in Venezuela or in some annoying way because
we're about to talk about Syria.
Exactly. And Syria is a good example. I mean, Cuban history is a good example of that as well. I mean, because since we were talking about that earlier, but this is troublesome because they've set up the game to work against us.
Yeah.
And so it really, I think, is going to take China's sort of like, chiding to
right.
it can't really be a U.S. like invasion or perceived as a U.S.
it
invasion
can't. No, it
because
really
if
can't.
We're leading the charge, we sort of like pretend like we have this authority to do this in other places, but that is exactly what they've been set up to create as a problem, you know, to make a problem. So
you really can't do anything without China on board.
No, and this is a country where the citizens of the, you know, there's not like a Tahrir Square going on here. There's not any public outcry within the country.
No.
You're never going to have that there.
You won't have it.
It's impossible. Yeah. This is a place where people get penalized for not crying loud enough about the death of dear leader.
Yeah.
So like that's not going to happen, but just because it's not feasible, it doesn't mean that there's not like going to be timing that works here.
Right.
Like there's not going to be a time when we're like, okay, people are ready.
Yeah.
No one's ever going to be ready.
Nope.
It's complicated. This is a fucking crazy country, by the way.
It is.
Like what the fuck?
I know.
How did they end up doing this? How did they end up themselves? And to what degree is this primarily South Korea's problem?
Well,
because I know why this is problematic for us.
Just
but
proximity wise, it's their problem. I mean, it's proximity wise, it's their problem.
It's also this state is the result of a war with them.
Mm-hmm.
This is not, and I know we were involved in that war, so I know that we bear some responsibility and we have an interest in the region and everything. But like, that's just because we get involved in any old war that we can find. That's not because we have an actual interest in the outcome of the war in this situation. You know, like, that has nothing to do with anything. That was just us supporting an ally for economic reasons.
Yeah.
This is difficult.
Yeah. Well,
I would not know what to do about this.
No,
it is a good thing I'm not the Secretary of State because I would be at a loss here.
Yeah.
Speaking of places that are a mess and I'm a loss about.
Yeah, Syria. Well, and this is a place here where we're having the same sort of, potentially not on the same scale as North Korea, but I mean, like, where, you know, the government is sort of, like, making sure that their own citizens are not getting aid, and, you know, sort of, like, the government is sort of you know, killing its own sort of, you know, opposition. And I mean, it's a real disaster too, but we're real hot to trot about that situation, but that's because it sort of involves Russia. It involves China. It involves sort of like general unrest in the Middle East.
We love to get involved in the Middle East when we can be a proxy for, like, when we can be a proxy power and like face off against Russia and China.
Exactly.
We love to do that.
Yeah.
Flex our muscles a little, show them what's what.
But we finally have a deal here with the UN Security Council, which is like a sort of big deal because they've been trying to get one for a long time.
And
it's been Russia and China who have like not been on board. And they finally sort of watered it down enough to get Russia on board.
That's what we like to do.
But basically we've been sending, you know, the UN has been like trying to get aid to sort of to all of Syria. And supposedly the Syrian government has been blocking that aid to like get to all of the people. And so they finally now have, you know, a deal that they've reached. But of course, the way that they watered it down enough was that Russia sort of made them take out that we can't sanction them if they don't comply.
So no one can make them comply.
So it has no teeth. The deal has no teeth.
It's just it's just an agreement that we made. It's like we shook hands on it and then just decided everyone would be fine, knowing that no one would actually follow through.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like when you agree in LA to meet someone at a certain time and you know you're meeting them an hour later.
Yeah.
You get that. But you like all sit around like talking about how you're going to get somewhere at 2.
Right.
No one's going to be there at 2. You'll be the only one there at 2.
Yeah.
But you all smile and pretend like you're making plans to be somewhere at 2.
Yeah.
And then you just don't show up. That's what's about to happen here. These people are about to be late to your prescribed meeting time for a movie that starts at a specific time that you're going to miss the beginning of.
Yep. Yeah. That's it. So anyway, the world is falling apart. I think that's our last foreign policy.
Thank God.
But I heard because there's been so much sort of like unrest all over the place, I love that they brought Susan Rice back on Meet the Press this morning, which I saw. I'm a weekly Meet the Press watcher. And of course, she sort of that's where she got herself into basically not being the Secretary of State, because she, after the whole Benghazi thing where she said that, you know, it wasn't a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
Basically. And so Brian Williams, of course, or not Brian Williams, who's the David Gregory. Not being able to resist, sort of asked her if she regretted that, and just she didn't think twice. No, she didn't. She was like, I gave
the answer from
what the intelligence agency had given me at the time, and to think that anybody in the administration was trying to do anything other than give out the information that they had from the intelligence community is just ridiculous, and basically just called like the whole thing wacko bonkers.
Yeah, which
it is.
It was. So
right.
Good work, Susan Rice.
But I was glad that she sort of
got the chance to do that.
Chance to do that. I'm sure everybody on the right
will be.
She probably has. Everybody on the right will think that she's, you know, up to her old tricks again.
They can think she's up to any old shenanigans they want.
Right.
She's a presidential appointee.
So she can do whatever. She can say whatever the fuck she wants.
Yeah, exactly.
But bless her heart. I was glad to see her not Karen.
Yeah. Feel good about it too.
Yeah.
You lied, though, because we have one more thing.
Oh, we do have one more thing. Right. I don't think they asked her about this.
This is still a North American foreign policy story.
Yeah, sure.
Though.
Closer to home.
Closer to home. We caught El Chapo. The head of the Sinaloa drug ring, which is responsible for something like 25% of the drugs that come from Mexico into the U.S.
Yep.
And a massive amount of violence in and around the border. Joaquin Guzman.
Yes.
Who
he was basically like the CEO of that.
Exactly.
Was finally caught in Mexico.
In Mazatlan.
That's where you go.
Nice,
I know,
beach
right?
Resort.
He was, you know. Well, I mean, and I think partly why he was caught was I had read that basically like he sort of is obviously crazy rich because he's running this like drug cartel that's like moving like 20%, 25% of the drugs like into the country, and it's like a worldwide organization.
Yeah.
And like he was basically like living in the mountains, like basically in fear of getting caught, and it basically finally came back and was like, well, I'm the fucking richest person in the world. Like, I mean, why I should be able to spend some money in fucking Mazatlan, but that's how you get caught.
Well, he was only in hiding because he was in prison and escaped
in a
laundry truck. He is a person who has escaped from prison.
I know.
That's pretty
badass. High security prison.
He was in a high security prison in Mexico.
Yeah.
Got out in a laundry truck.
But this is a big deal. I mean, like, you know, Chicago, so at some point, like, the DEA had said that, like, 90% of all the drugs that were going into Chicago, like, the marijuana, cocaine, and heroin were, like, coming from that particular cartel. And, like, they had even, the city of Chicago had declared him public enemy number one, which is the first time they'd declared anyone that since Al Capone.
Right.
So
that's pretty epic.
This is a bigger deal than just sort of like catching some drug lord. I mean, yeah. like he was no, really sort big... of like, and he was sort of, it's like you said, like a lot of the violence along the border was sort of like because of this cartel that he was running. Like, I mean, yeah. this isn't to say that the cartel is now over.
Right.
because
any old person can take over the cartel now.
People are always going to be trying to move drugs between Mexico and America. That's just a thing that's going to be happening. Yeah, but I mean, like,
that's a business.
It's still a big,
there's demand,
it's still a
there's
big,
supply.
It's still a big catch just because yes. he was the head.
And because he had been on the run, and so
right.
he was sort of like symbolically
he's
important.
He's been on the run for 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean,
this is a symbolically time. Important victory right. because we just lost him for 10 years, which, like, don't lose him for 10
right.
years.
How does that happen? That's yeah.
crazy.
Yeah.
Speaking of drugs.
Yeah.
You know,
we got some good news out of Colorado this
yeah.
week.
Colorado's, like, rolling in money over this marijuana
right.
tax.
Which is what we have sort of always said, yeah. and what it's the way that sort of Colorado pitched this anyway, because yeah. when they laid out this plan to sort of like let people vote on whether they wanted to legalize marijuana, they said they estimated that they were going to be getting $70 million like
in
this
new
year
revenue.
In new revenue based on sales tax from the drugs. I think it's a 12.9%
yeah.
sales tax. They're gonna have sold like $600 million worth of marijuana or something.
Real stoned over
people
there
with their marijuana.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. But anyway, they have now revised that
yeah.
to $98 million. I mean,
they're,
like, they, almost $30 million more when they had estimated $70
million. They're
going to
have $100 million in money that's
yeah.
that's only because they decided to legalize something everyone was doing anyway.
Right. And they're going to use it to get people to
stop doing,
doing
drugs.
That. Which
it's a terrible business plan.
It's a terrible business plan. If you're only... I get it as, like, sort of, like, you know, you want to sort of, like, help the public health, and you
yeah.
sort of like, you know, you
well,
don't want
would,
you don't want 10-year-olds using marijuana. I get
I would also
it. Like
assume that most of these are substance abuse programs focused on either over, you know, like, you know, with alcohol is legal, but if you
right.
overuse alcohol, it's dangerous for society and yourself.
Well, and I don't.
And then doing heroin is still not a good idea.
Right. Well, and
you
I
know?
Also I don't know whether this is the case, but my guess is that these are probably already programs that were sort of on the books that were
yeah.
being paid for out of some other sort of money.
Exactly.
So now they're just. Being paid for,
yeah.
which is nice,
which
I guess,
want.
Because if you're going to have to pay for them, then you might as well pay for them with this tax
exactly.
revenue. But on some level, it's also sort of like, okay.
It's not a great business strategy,
right?
Colorado.
Like, we have all this money, so we're going to get you to try and stop giving us this money.
Right.
But whatever. Anyway, it's still good news, and it sort of like
yeah.
points to, you know, like, why this is a good idea.
Yeah.
It's just one
yeah.
other reason why this is a good idea.
Exactly.
Besides various
well, and
other
it would
ones.
Be nice.
Besides,
it would...
besides cutting back on incarceration, besides sort of, you know...
Yeah.
There's
a number
a myriad
of reasons,
of reasons to this
why
is a good
you would
idea.
Take a not particularly dangerous drug that people are just using
just
to
make it legal and
chips
make
and play video
on.
Games,
right.
and then you know make some money on it.
Yeah,
yeah.
There probably there's a lot of like hidden sales tax that they're also getting too that they can't point to just of the drug sale because
yeah.
they're probably
they're,
getting
they're
20 million
a lot of chips.
I was going to say they're getting $20 million on sales tax from Doritos probably.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, and you know Taco Bell and whatever
yeah.
else it is.
If literally, if any snack foods in that state have sales tax. That's another
that
area of improvement.
List.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, this is doing nothing but making money for everyone.
Yeah, totally.
Except for stoners.
Right.
It's not losing them money, though, because
no.
when you have stuff that's on the black market, it's expensive.
Right, it's
There's
more
no
expensive.
Reason for it to be
right,
so
they're probably
expensive.
Getting a better deal on
yeah,
this.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're also being able to get, like, more fun things, too.
Yeah.
Now they can get edibles.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
Well, I noticed here, like, just based on sort of third-hand evidence, I mean, I don't really know for sure, but it seems like marijuana here is a lot cheaper than it is back home just because you can walk into a store and buy it.
Well,
and so there's
yeah.
a whole scenes there's sort of like the demand is open, the
yes.
the supply is open. Everyone knows how much demand and supply there is, and so it's easier for people to not have to pay inflated prices because they
exactly.
have to meet some guy in a back alley
back out,
and everyone's
right, exactly.
risking being arrested
well,
and
also,
all this other nonsense.
And
all, yeah.
when you're doing that too, there's not necessarily there's not sort of like a going rate in
yeah.
the sense that
and
you
there's
know,
not
I
control
mean,
over
like,
the supply
not,
in the same way
right,
too
because yeah.
you could be getting sold cilantro
exactly.
for all you know.
We can't be. I mean, we have medical marijuana here, which is sort of fairly easy to get as anybody
yeah.
who lives here
if
knows.
If you're a person
but,
with health event any health
right,
problem,
right. Yeah, if you're alive, you can
if
get
you're
marijuana
alive,
in California.
You definitely
we,
have some health problem.
We can't
that
be far
you.
Behind. They're not. We're not going to
no.
let Colorado beat us.
No.
I mean they already beat us. But
Angelinos are just as stoned as people in Colorado.
Totally.
I don't know what's going on in the rest of the state. Couldn't guess, but I know for sure that if you walk around West
stoned.
Hollywood, everyone is equally
no,
stoned.
They're stoned in San Francisco.
They're stoned in San Francisco.
Yeah.
There's a lot. Of,
all of the beach communities.
A lot
are
of Northern
stoned,
California.
There's
hippies up there.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean
that's stoned central.
Yeah,
those people are.
Yeah. So,
not unstoned.
But anyways, that's exciting news.
Yeah.
Make Colorado making money.
Yeah. Look at that.
So we've talked a lot about whether sort of this, you know, Obama seems to keep putting off the Keystone Pipeline thing. That, you know, the that we've had like three different studies by, you know, the Defense Department and various
it's
other
one of
things
issues
about
that's
like
a
whether
lose lose for everybody, like so no one wants to deal with it.
But I think that probably Obama is happy about this news.
Yes,
is my guess, because like now he probably gets another year pass on whether he's going to have to deal with it or not, because a judge. So basically, what happened was the sort of we finally decided that like. There was some report that it wasn't going to hurt global warming, which
it's
is sort of like, that's
that,
a fake report anyway. But we finally decided we've got a route. Everything's fine.
It's all set
we
up.
We can do this, whatever.
Just waiting on the president's signature.
Right. One of the states that it's going to have to go through is Nebraska.
Right. So, a state that you wouldn't normally trust.
No. Yeah. So the Republican governor there was real hot to trot to like make sure that like they were going to okay that this pipeline could go through there.
Right.
The problem was is that the Nebraska Constitution sort of states that
the Public Service Commission
has to okay any pipelines going through the state. So in an attempt to bypass that, he had to basically push the legislature to write a law that he could be the one who could just basically rubber stamp this pipeline going through there. So a couple people whose land this pipeline was going to go through filed a suit in the courts
that
basically said he can't just decide because it's against the Constitution, and the judge agreed. So basically, the district court judge in Lancaster County, Nebraska, threw out the governor's rubber stamp of the pipeline going through the state. So it's definitely going to be appealed. It's going to go through district courts, or well, she's a district court. It's probably going
to
go up to
the
Supreme Court, probably. But it could take a year to decide. And until Nebraska can say that it's going to go through there, we can't start building it through there.
Exactly.
So he gets a little bit of a pass
here.
Of course, obviously, environmentalists were like super stoked about this because nobody wants the damn
pipeline. This is something that I think... you know, this was sort of like an eminent domain situation where, like, Nebraska was sort of... If you have property that is about to be eminent domained, like, you want to make pretty fucking sure that there's no way to get out of that.
Of course.
Shit. Yeah. Having your property seized by the government, or, you know, paid at a terrible rate by the government, or whatever they're up to with eminent domain, is some bullshit a lot of the time.
Totally.
No one's really trying to have that happen. Even when it's for the public good, ultimately, which is... This is not the case, because this is just...
This is the public
This is eminent... This is actually... I mean, this is something that I resent... in a lot of eminent domain cases, I don't approve of eminent domain being used to benefit a private company, ever.
Sure.
If you want to build a fire station for the safety of the community, or a school, or something like that, with public, you know, a publicly funded organization that is going to then be, you know, provide some sort of benefit to the community, then by all means, I get what,
I'm sure the people on the
highway,
right would say that this is going to do that, but...
That's wrong, though.
That's wrong. It's wrong, though.
It's a pipe that goes under the state. That's no one wins.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm
sure they're going to claim that, but I mean, that couldn't... There's no evidence that that is possibly the case.
No. Yeah.
But I never support the use of eminent domain for things that involve private interests.
Right.
Because it's not fair to ask you to give up your land so that a company can do something.
Well, that's
just like me walking into your house and being like, I need your second bedroom for something.
Right.
I'm planning to open a business in your second bedroom. Give it to me.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's not a... You can't do that. That's not a thing.
No.
I'm going to pay you a fair market rate that's below market rate for your second bedroom.
Right.
And then I'm going to open a business in there and make millions of dollars.
Uh-huh.
And you can't do anything about it because I decided.
Right.
It's not... You can't do that.
Right.
That's what this is.
Also, this business is bad for your health.
Yeah, exactly.
And the world.
This business is definitely going to make your quality of life worse.
Right.
And I'm definitely not going to adequately compensate you for it. But I'm just doing it.
Yep.
I said eminent domain.
Right.
What can you do about that? Like,
nope.
That's exactly... Eminent domain is so that you can build a fucking highway to somewhere.
Yeah.
That's what that's for.
Yeah.
It's not so that a pipeline for a private company can come through your backyard.
No.
So there.
Yeah,
I said it.
Anyway.
I'll go on about eminent domain again next week, if anyone's interested.
Perfect.
I'm going to open a special eminent domain podcast. Nothing makes me angrier than dumb eminent domain laws. It's like...
I didn't know.
Well, I think eminent domain is an important power for the government to have, because otherwise we wouldn't have highways and other things.
Right.
You know, most land is broken up by privately owned land. It's not like the government owns, like, they don't own corridors between people's property or anything like that. I get why you would need eminent domain.
Yeah.
And I get how sometimes it doesn't work out for people, and that's too bad.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, if you're going to build a highway in front of a house and that's going to decrease their property value and whatever, I think you have to compensate them for that, for sure.
Yeah.
But, like, I get why that would be necessary for the public good.
Yep.
I never, and this is mostly how eminent domain seems to get used these days, I never, you know, in terms of fracking in terms of, yep. you know, creating routes for trucks for fracking, like all of that stuff.
Yeah.
I never support a private company having the power to yeah. create eminent. And even if you're a private university, shouldn't be able to eminent domain your land. Yeah. Like even something that would in some way be for the public good, yeah. but is still a sort of for the profit of the private good.
Yeah.
And it should never be able to take over, to just sort of, you know, bully their way over into your land.
And the only thing that might be worse than eminent domain bullying is just sort of Republican power grabs, which is what the governor did here to be able to sort of do it in the first place.
Exactly.
So it has all of the things that would make you angry.
Yeah. No, I'm happy with this court decision.
I am too.
I didn't realize how angry I was about the situation beforehand.
Until right this second. I know. Yeah, exactly.
I don't normally follow what's going on in Nebraska, so that's probably why. Well, I could have gotten worked up about this if I had known. Ugh. I can get worked up about eminent domain anytime.
Sure.
You
can get worked up about this next story,
too. Oh, my God.
Because Tom DeLay was in the news. First off, Tom DeLay should never be in the news.
No.
He shouldn't be on Dancing with the Stars. He shouldn't be doing any of the things that he's doing.
No. Certainly, he needs to move to a quiet, small town where he can go to the local store and buy groceries and then go home and no one can hear from him beyond
that. Right, exactly. He was on some terrible news show, the Global Evangelist Television Network, which also that should not exist.
No.
But he was on the show hosted by Matt Hagee. And they asked him how the country had gone wrong. And he had
an open-ended question.
He had an interesting theory.
Yeah. His quote.
Have to read the quote. I'll let you at this. Yeah.
He said, "I think we got off track when we allowed our government to become a secular government. When we stopped realizing that God created this nation, that he wrote the Constitution, that it's based on biblical principles." What era would that be? Is there an era before the part where we wrote the Constitution?
Where God wrote the Constitution.
But is there an era before that where we wrote in the Constitution that God had not written? Like, we wrote the separation of church and state exists in the Constitution.
Right.
So, like,
God wouldn't have put that in there himself.
And we know exactly who wrote it. So that's another piece of evidence. But, I mean, there wasn't a point in the nation, the nation America, which was founded by the Constitution, in which we didn't have a separation of... And people.
Right.
In which we didn't have a separation of church and state. There was no time that we were both a nation and believing that God had a place in the Constitution and that he wrote it or that we were subscribing to the principles of Christianity. Literally, the moment the nation was founded was the moment we separated church and state.
Right.
Before that, we weren't a nation, so we couldn't do anything. We were just some people who were angry with some people that were trying to tax us in Britain and not representing us in their parliament. That's what we were up to.
Yep. That's
we were some random colonies full of prisoners, for the most part, and a bunch of Puritan crazies who were just walking around enslaving people and then, you know, doing whatever we do according to British law.
Right. That's it.
Yeah. And then the moment that we were a nation was the moment that we had the separation of church and state. Ugh. So there wasn't even... This moment that he's talking about didn't exist.
It wasn't
a time in history.
Nope.
But also, if you're going to pick a document that you think God wrote...
That's not it.
If you want to think God wrote the Bible, do what you
just
must.
Yeah, exactly. Think that.
Think that if that's the stupid thought you need to have.
Right.
If you...
But as a person who was in Congress, don't be thinking that God wrote the document that runs the, you know...
No. Especially when we know exactly who wrote it.
Right.
Especially when we have pictorial evidence
We know who wrote the Bible, too, but...
Yeah, well, that's fair enough. But I mean, like, we have, like, as part of the mythology of America... documentation of who exactly wrote the Constitution. Yeah. There was a committee of people that were all gathered there. They're all famous names that we know. It's, you know, many of the famous political names of early America also helped write the Constitution. Right. It's not a mystery who wrote it.
No.
It's not like a document that appeared that we feel great about. It's fucking written by people. who believed in the separation of church and state.
People. Yes.
Those people. The Jefferson people.
Yes. Arizona isn't so much into this whole separation of church and state
situation
right now.
They are not...
Not even
at
all.
With that.
Oh, boy.
First of all, they haven't been on board with much that's made sense recently. They censured John McCain recently.
I know.
For being too liberal.
Yeah.
That's
but
crazy.
This is a thing. For some reason, like, this story has, like, really gotten a lot of traction right now.
Well,
they have passed this law before. Basically, the Arizona legislature passed this bill that would allow business owners, as long as they assert their religious beliefs, to deny service to gay and lesbian customers.
Now, that's blatantly unconstitutional.
Or really, anyone that sort of like doesn't...
Right, that I mean, doesn't jive with their religious
most
beliefs.
Most people are sort of...
If your religious beliefs make you hate black people, are you also allowed to not serve them?
Yeah.
I think so. I mean,
actually,
it must
be. Yeah, I mean, I think that most people are seeing this as their way to not... to deny service to gay and lesbian people. But I mean, really sort of like...
You can deny service to anyone.
I mean, it's sort of vague enough that you could do
whatever. As a private business owner, allowed to refuse service to anyone
right.
if you want to. But not... you're not allowed to discriminate against people.
Right.
You're allowed to refuse service to someone who either is not interested in purchasing your service for the going price, yeah. or, but you're not allowed to be like, oh, you can't sit at this lunch counter because you're gay.
No, it's crazy. Well, and I think that, like, well, first up, there was a funny thing that I saw people posting. My dad posted it, actually, and there was, like, some business had put a sign in their window that was like, you know, we're now allowed to, or we're refusing service to Arizona state legislatures, legislators, which was sort of funny. But yeah. anyway, I mean, like, you know, first off, they passed something similar to this last year and Jan Brewer vetoed it. I think most people think that she'll probably veto again. It. And she's a little bit of a, not a little bit, she's crazy.
100%
she's 100% loon bag. But also she has done some things recently. Yeah. I think
her lame duckness is really getting to her.
She can't run again, and she has sort of been. She certainly hasn't been a liberal, and I think even to call her a moderate would probably be stretching things a little bit.
On specific things that cross a line of just absolute crazy townness.
Right.
She's made some sense.
Right. Exactly. Because
she accepted the Medicaid money.
She accepted the Medicaid money, and she needed the legislature approval to be able to accept that, and they weren't doing it because it's a bunch of Republican crazies. And she said to them, I'm going to veto anything that you send to me until you approve this. And she did.
Yeah.
They sent her things. And she was like, screw off until you take this our people who live in the state need this freaking Medicare money.
We have a lot of old poor people here.
Right. And so, bless her heart, and she really stuck to her guns on that. And she will probably, I think, veto this. She doesn't have a crazy base that she needs to sort of appeal to for an election at some point.
And this is such bad PR.
Well, it's bad PR.
Arizona, by the way, is always spearheading dumb. They're the people of, you know, that law where they could just sort of randomly pull over cars full of Mexicans and demand their papers. They're up to a lot of discriminatory activities over in Arizona. This is such poor timing, because this is sort of, like, this is a moment where, of late, we've been talking a lot about state-sponsored human rights abuses when it comes to gays and lesbians because of Russia.
Yeah.
And so, don't pass this law right now. The Olympics just happened. We all know what Russia is up to.
Yeah.
Like, we've been talking about how detestable it is.
Well, and also, the other reason that I think that she won't sign it is also just because she's not a genius, but I think she also is, she has to be smart enough to know that, like, this couldn't hold up either. I mean, like, this isn't a thing that, like, can happen. I mean, like, you can't do this. Like, this is not a law that can stand. I mean, it might be able to stand long enough until it gets overturned, but I mean, it can't.
It doesn't make sense to be passed. This is a waste of everyone's time.
Big time waste.
Veto that shit and move on.
Yes.
Also,
carry on.
Everyone in Arizona could be doing better with their election work.
Well, and the other thing that... Right, they could. And the other thing that I think that, like, is sort of just on a sort of duh level is that this is bad for business.
Yeah.
Like, you don't... If you want people to be... If, you know, if you want your state to be sort of like a place where, like, you know, businesses thrive and it sort of, like, is a place where you want people to come and you, like, you don't, I'm not saying, like, Arizona needs to be like, oh, look, all of the gays and trannies and everybody else should just come here and we're going to open our borders to Mexico.
No one is under the impression that they're welcoming to gays in Arizona. They're safe from that.
But, like, it's a bad business model. It's another bad business model.
For a state that has the Grand Canyon in it. I mean, for God's sakes, you have one of the biggest fucking tourist attractions in the entire nation.
Yeah.
And you're going to be like, oh, actually, we don't allow
gays.
We don't want gays to come to the Grand Canyon. We make all of our money there, but we don't want gay money.
Right. No.
Like, you want all money.
Yeah.
That's all the money that you can have is with the money that you want.
Exactly.
So no one's trying to get involved in that.
Oh, God.
Oh,
boy. This is a good one.
This is a good Ted Nugent one.
Back in the news this week.
Back in the news.
Because...
That guy.
Oh, God. He was out campaigning with Greg Abbott, who's running for the governor of Texas, against Wendy Davis. And out on the campaign trail, he called Obama a subhuman mongrel.
He's real good with words.
He didn't really understand why that was racist, unfortunately.
He doesn't understand. And then when he apologized, he was basically like, well, I'm apologizing. It was because Rick Perry and Rand Paul got on his case to apologize.
Like, so once those two... Once...
Like
Rick Perry, who, you know, had a brief scandal for having a rock outside of his ranch that said niggerhead on it. Excuse my language.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, when he's on your case about, you know, being racist, that's when you know.
That's when you know. You start to reflect at that point.
Yeah.
Ted chose not to. He chose to apologize in a very unapologetic way.
Yes. He did not apologize to the president. He apologized for his language.
He apologized for offending Rick Perry and Rand Paul with his language, basically.
Yeah. He said that he regretted...
You never by the way, want to be in that situation.
Right. He said, what did he say? He said, I did cross the line. I do apologize. Not necessarily to the president, but on behalf of much better people than myself. And then he also said that he regretted using the quote, Street Fighter terminology of subhuman mongrel instead of just using more understandable language such as violator of the Constitution and being the liar that he is.
Yes.
So, you know, he didn't really, you know.
He's not sorry.
He's not sorry. Yeah, boy. Anyway.
Meanwhile, also.
More confused racism.
There's a lot more racism.
Out of Georgia.
Yeah. Georgia has recently redone a license plate design of theirs that offers a Confederate flag. You may not be surprised to hear there's a lot of Confederate flagging going on
in the South down there.
Several states.
Yeah.
But
a lot of states,
some
actually.
That surprised me, like Maryland.
Maryland?
Like,
what are they getting up to?
Get over yourself.
Come on.
Stop that immediately.
Yeah.
Am I surprised to hear Tennessee has a Confederate flag?
Right. But basically,
license plate option?
Right. Yeah. Basically, what had happened is they've been offering this plate for like a really long time, actually. But
people love
because of like
flags.
I guess like a Georgia license plate redesign or something like that, they had to redesign it, so it's back in the news and sort of you know is a thing, basically. And but the guy who had to do the redesign of the plate sort of doesn't get it.
Doesn't understand
says,
what the big deal
What's
is.
What's the big deal? If I offend anyone, I don't understand why, because we had the emblem on there for years. That's
not the
does
answer.
Does not make it right.
No. It also doesn't make it right that 9 other states offer this option.
Right?
Like,
but, and it's
what?
Also sort of like a, it's, because I guess the way that at least it works in Georgia is that you can sort of, it's sponsored by the Sons of Confederate.
Veterans.
Veterans, basically. So, like, also when you have to buy one of these license plates, and it.
Didn't realize that was an organization, by the way.
I know, right?
That's scary.
And part of the money for the license plate that you buy, they're like $80 or something, like goes to that. So not only are you being terrible by putting that on your card, you're also giving money to the, you know,
Sons of
Confederate
veterans,
which I guess once you're buying that plate, you're probably fine that money is going to them for the license plate.
I would
imagine.
But I mean, I'm not fine as a human with that.
No. So
this is, though, from a place where they're still teaching the Civil War as the War of Northern Aggression.
That's true.
So nobody knows what
they're not
going
teaching that in Maryland,
minds.
Though.
No, I know. Maryland is.
No.
Also,
they're probably not teaching
Maryland
that North Carolina
even in the Confederacy?
I wouldn't think so.
That is a surprise. That would be a surprise if it was.
I mean, like, maybe they just have like a bunch of people from the freaking Sons of Confederate veterans,
I mean,
and they've.
To be honest, there is a certain amount of Confederate flag activity that goes on in many northern states, including upstate New York, where you see it more than you would hope to.
Well, it's
and
a...
it's sort of like you guys live in upstate New York,
right?
This was one of the first states to get rid of slavery. Like,
yeah. Well, it doesn't. What...
You're not you. The Confederacy succeeding would not have had. An impact on your life.
Right. Well, the Confederate flag now, I think, is, like, far enough away from the Civil War
it's symbolic of, like, love and guns and racism, basically.
Right, exactly. Like, you can sort of, like, be any, you know,
yeah,
you could,
it's
be,
just
you
a
could be in California and have a Confederate flag, and that just means you hate black people.
Yeah,
it
exactly.
doesn't have anything to do with whose side you were on in the Civil
exactly.
War.
But
it
I mean,
just
it's
means
a,
you're
it's
a terrible a, racist person.
It's an odd symbol because the only connotations anywhere that where it doesn't have this connotation of freedom, like it does in the South, is just racism.
Right.
It's like something that NASCAR people love.
At least in the South, you could sort of write it off as
like,
being
we wanted to be free.
Right, exactly.
To continue racism.
Yeah. But if you're in California with one of those, then you're just like, you're just marking yourself.
Yeah,
as a racist.
Then it's just a flag where you're like alerting other racists that you're in the area, making sure everyone else knows to avoid you. I once in upstate New York in the Hudson Valley, which is a very progressive region. Was driving around in a back... I know, I went to college up there. I was driving around on a back road. Passed a Confederate party of sorts. It was like, there were Confederate flags all over, and all the cars that were going in and out had Confederate flags.
Oh
and
I bet
like,
there were a lot of motorcycles at the party.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I was like, what are you guys doing in the Hudson Valley? You're having a Confederate party?
Right.
What kind of nonsense is that? They were eating disgusting barbecues, you can imagine.
Sure.
Some sort of supermarket nonsense.
Uh-huh.
Very much against it.
Yeah.
In any case...
Oh, boy.
Speaking of potential civil wars...
This is crazy.
This is bonkers. Mostly because it's being advocated by a venture capitalist.
Yeah.
So like we know we don't know why necessarily it's bad, except that we know we can't trust it.
Right. There's this guy
Tim Draper
who's
a lot
from
like
California, and he's basically pushing this ballot initiative that would split California into 6 states regionally.
That's weird. That's
weird.
A weird thing to do. I mean, as much as it would be nice if we could split it in such a way that the Democrats just like control the Senate from now until forever.
Right.
It would also sort of be weird because then California would be six states.
Well, just from the way you would think that the reason that you would be doing this is because if you were trying to take some power away from Democrats, that's just is sort yeah. of my yeah. guess. But the way that I looked at that map,
it didn't look like that. Because it basically put all of the Republican parts into one or two states and left everyone else in a Democratic
right, because
region.
Los Angeles would be in Western California. We would obviously elect
we wouldn't
Democrats.
Even
There's
share
the
a state
California,
with San Diego.
That no,
we're 2 hours from San Diego, guys.
Right,
we're in the same state
it's
as San
split
Diego.
Up in a suspect way. I don't know how they did it. They put like all of Central California where the farmers would be there. Like you would, they could potentially elect a Democrat just depending on sort of like what they were getting up to at the time. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's politically motivated.
This is, I think, what it is. He's a Silicon Valley guy.
Right.
I think he was trying to create
an isolated Silicon Valley state.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
That's what it is.
That's what it was about. Yeah. So he wanted to create a Silicon Valley state so that they could pass all sorts of laws that benefit Silicon Valley types, tech sectory types, and other people venture capitalizes.
Right. Basically what he said is, you know, there's 38 million people in the state.
Yeah,
and it's a big state. He claims that sort of like we are not, with the government that we have, we're sort of not able to serve everyone.
Right. And it's a very diverse
state. And it's a diverse state. So, you know, I mean, I guess in theory that's not wrong, but also it's sort of like this plan is a sort of cockamamie scheme to fix the problem.
Also,
I mean, it's not
how
you fix
degree,
it.
To some degree, I sort of love living in a huge state. Because it's something where you can, at the state level, and we are in a Democratic state, so I would not love this if we were in a state that looked like the nation.
Right.
So drive me fucking nuts.
Yeah.
But in a state of this size, we're able to really affect national policy in a way that we wouldn't be.
We've talked a lot about that on this podcast,
you know, yeah.
just sort of in general.
Things
that
work in California can be expanded to the rest of the country.
Yeah, I mean, we drag the other 49 states along with us on a lot of issues,
yeah.
and we would not be able to continue to do that
if
we were six states. We don't have national pull any longer.
Exactly. I think that it's sort of, it's important that if Texas is going to be a state, that California also be a state.
Yeah, I agree.
You know?
Yes.
I see why a lot of influence comes out of, like, New York State in that area, because that's the biggest city in the country by a pretty significant margin in terms of, like, power and money and whatever.
Yeah.
But I think it's important that there be a state out there that's just a giant sprawling fucking mess that rival Texas.
Yeah, I agree.
In bigness.
Well, and the other thing is that, I mean, we sort of have been obsessed with secession movements a lot.
Oh, yeah,
here.
We love those.
And we have been sort of, the people of California have been fending off secession movements since the 1800s.
Yeah.
First off, we're not going to vote yes for this.
No,
if it even got on the ballot. If, for whatever freak reason, we did vote for it, and then, like, new states have to be okayed by the Congress.
Yeah, it's not,
they're not going to give California 12 senators.
No.
That's not a thing. Like, even if there's a
as
potential
a big state,
for...
we ultimately lose out politically. We lose a lot of political power. And I think that we combat that by being influential. I mean,
yeah.
you know, I think it's nice to live in a big state, even though you don't really have the power in the Senate, because you're able to sort of create cultural influence in a way that you're not able to as a small state.
Yeah.
No one knows what Nebraska's up to. We just found out, and I'm furious about it now, but I'm going to forget about it by tomorrow because I never think about Nebraska.
No.
I think daily about what's going on in New York and Texas and California because something always is.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I think a lot about California because I live here, obviously.
Sure.
That's one of the reasons.
Right.
But in any case, this is a bizarre idea that I would imagine he's probably not even from California. I bet he's some carpetbagging nonsense.
Probably.
I say that as a carpetbagger myself.
That's true. But speaking of California, we've been sort of talking about some of the crazy people who are running for state office here, or national office, actually, from California. Marianne Williamson being one of them specifically. But we've got another one. She's back at it again. Bertha Queen, Orly Tights, back at it. She's going to be running against Kamala Harris for the California Attorney General.
Yeah. Orly Tate just never goes away.
She never goes away. She ran for Secretary of State in 2010. She ran for the Senate in 2012. She got a whole 3% of the votes. So now it's
whopping
2014. So she's back. I mean, she's on her two-year, you know, campaign.
Here's a hilarious thing that happened in 2010, though, that we were not aware of until just now.
I know.
She was fined $20,000 by the U.S. Supreme Court because she filed a frivolous, as they termed it, suit on behalf of an Army captain who refused his deployment to Iraq because... They're arguing that the orders weren't legitimate because Obama's not eligible to be president. I mean,
come on, lady. First off, this woman is crazy. She sort of is. If you don't know who she is, you should really get on board because she's a real treat.
She's a dentist.
She's a dentist and a real estate agent.
Like the two things.
And
that
a lawyer.
Yeah, all the things that you'd be.
What?
Not,
like
not If you're imagining that it takes a superhumanly smart person to do three of those at once,
yeah.
What I need you to do is imagine instead that you're just a person who's delusionally declaring yourself a professional in anything. That's what we have here.
Well, she's definitely delusional on
I am also a real estate agent and a lawyer.
Yeah, sure.
I'm a dentist, too.
Yeah.
There, I said it.
Yeah.
I've done all those.
Yeah. According to her platform, she says that she would rein in unconstitutional spying on state residents and end the unconstitutional discriminatory Obamacare tax
yes.
levied on some of the citizens of California and waived for corporations. I don't know what that is.
That's an interesting tax that I've never heard of. Yeah.
She has a lot of theories.
Yeah.
On things.
A lot of theories.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to know what tax she's referring to because I can't. Well, I can't know what it is.
I would also like to hang out with.
Oh, she's probably hilarious.
She and Ashley Wagner, if I could get in a room together.
Oh my god, it'd be amazing.
Oh boy.
She's the kind of person that just, she's not, like, Ashley Wagner would be hilarious because she would tell you bitchy gossip about everyone, which is all you're looking for.
Yeah.
T.S., all of my skating friends are like this. This is what you want in a skating friend.
Yeah.
Orly Tates would be the person that babbles nonsensically about.
Yes, that's what you want. She has the conspiracy theories that you want to hear.
She's a sort of Michelle Bachmann, Sarah Palin
yeah.
style.
Well,
crazy
she has
person.
The she has the yeah, and she also has the much like those people. She also has the crazy look about her.
Yes,
she really crazy, just yes. like yeah. I mean, you
crazy hair
can look at
too.
A picture of her
and know
and know.
That's you just can immediately
she has that
know.
Problem.
Yeah,
she can't help it.
She can't help it. People but, with crazy eyes can't. Help it.
No.
There are people with non-crazy eyes that say crazy shit all the time and do not get called out on it because they look like they're making sense. It's really a disability in a certain sense.
It is.
But there's some people that respond to crazy eyes, too.
A lot of people love it.
More people than you would hope.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, in any case,
that's
happening.
Look for that.
Look for that.
Actually, don't, because she'll probably get another 3% of the vote. I mean, she's not,
don't even bother looking
for
it.
She's obviously not up to winning elections.
We'll let you know if you need to bother.
Right.
Chances are it's not
the
problem. Yeah. But in any case, that's the news this week.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week when there will be no Olympic news because of tragedy.
Yeah. Maybe there
will
be...
I might get more work done at work, though.
Maybe there will be further fallout of the skating judging scandal.
Oh, God, I hope so. Hope we can talk about that for the next 6 months.
I know, me too.
Make my life.
All the way up to Worlds.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
And we'll let you know when that is. You'll know.
Yeah.
In any case, we will
see you next week.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye.